Hi, I'm Gary, and this is EV Musings, a podcast about renewables, electric vehicles, and things that are interesting to electric vehicle owners. On the show today, we'll be looking at why nobody should really have two fossil fuel cars. This season of the podcast is sponsored by Zapmap, the free-to-download app that helps EV drivers search, plan, and pay for their charging. Before we start, I wanted to let you know we'll be talking later in the season about efforts and education related to making the things we watch on film and TV a little greener than they are at the moment. Stay tuned for that one. Our main topic of discussion today is the second car. I have a neighbour who lives in a large detached house. They recently had a big extension put in. Attached garage takes two cars, and in the driveway in front of the double garage are two new, within the last 2 years, Volkswagen diesel SUVs. Now, I wouldn't presume to say that I know what their financial situation is. I have no idea of their income, their debt situation, or anything else which would lead me to believe that they are rich, poor, or otherwise. However, I have to believe that anyone who can spend money on a large extension and afford to buy two new Volkswagen SUVs would probably have enough money to afford an electric vehicle and a charge point in place of one of those SUVs. My rudimentary research indicates that each of these two vehicles retails for a minimum of £30,000 and a maximum of £41,000 according to specification. The vehicles are similar in size to the Volkswagen ID.4, which retails brand new at £46,000, but which another neighbour of mine recently purchased second-hand at auction for about half of that amount. As one of the vehicles is mainly used to drive the dog to a local park for a walk, despite us living in a very rural area with handy footpaths across nearby fields, I can imagine there would be little objection to paying a lot less for a second-hand EV than there would be for an expensive-to-run diesel version of the same. So, somewhere down the line, I have to believe that neighbours have made a conscious decision to go for two diesel vehicles rather than one diesel vehicle and one electric vehicle, or in a utopian situation, two electric vehicles. On today's show, I want to put forward the thesis that anybody with off-street parking and two cars should seriously think about having one or both of their cars electric. We'll discuss some of the arguments that could be put up against this and work through the logistics, costs, and issues in doing so. Let me start by saying that I'm sure that for every statement or argument I put up, there will be a listener who says, "That doesn't apply to me, I'm different." If I discuss cost or price, they'll talk about how they have overheads, which mean they can't afford an EV. If I talk about a specific car, they'll talk about how they have a unique use case, which means they need to be able to travel 1,000 miles at the drop of a hat while towing £14,000, and the only way they can do that is with a diesel SUV. If I talk about charging, they'll say they can't afford to buy or install a charger to charge their car. If I talk about range, they'll say they travel to the south of France once a quarter and can't be bothered waiting to charge. But in reality, there are always reasons why certain individuals choose not to do things. There are always reasons you consider yourself to be different to everyone else. Fine. But as I said in an article I wrote recently, we live in a society with freedom of choice, and I fully support your right to make whatever choice you want and not be mandated to by the government, as some people feel is happening. But if you have the choice and you specifically choose not to take the option which works better for the planet, and that tells me all I need to know. I'm linking a document in the show notes, which is a research paper on the topic of internal deliberation defending climate harmful behaviour. kind of an interesting title, but it basically discusses the fact that although many intelligent and conscientious people understand the causes of climate change and the risks associated with it, they still make choices which are harmful to the environment. In many cases, people find that it's painful to live with discrepancies between knowledge and action. To be able to avoid taking the consequences of their knowledge, they deal with a gap by motivating themselves that the action is still acceptable. And this is done through multiple paths: rationalization, legitimization, justification, and imploration. I mean, basically, people justify this to themselves by saying things such as, "I make many other good choices," or "I'm doing a lot for the climate, so I can treat myself with fill in the blanks," or "I've been ill for a long time," as a way of justifying why they think they can take a flight to go on holiday, or "I settled with a journey to Europe instead of New York," or my personal favourite, "The choice of the individual is negligible. The issue must be resolved at a higher political level." So bear in mind that intelligent, well-meaning people can make decisions which are against their own best interests in the long term, using any number of justifications to themselves and others. Having said that, let's get started. My thesis, as I stated earlier, is that any household that has off-street parking and two cars should probably consider making one of them electric. The reason is straightforward. Why wouldn't you? Let's address the cost issue. The main reasons people put forward for not wanting to go electric are cost and range. If this is a second car, it will probably be a used vehicle, in which case the cost will be much lower, especially nowadays as the second-hand market is seeing some great value vehicles. If it isn't second-hand, then, as I stated before on this show, the price of a brand new 200-mile range MG4 is around the same as a basic Volkswagen Golf. The all-electric Mini Cooper is £30,000. The three-door Mini Cooper on which it's based is £28,390. Both can be leased from BMW Mini for the same monthly cost, with a slightly higher down payment for the petrol Mini. I also note that recent figures indicate that hybrid and plug-in hybrid vehicles are outselling full electric vehicles, despite them both being considerably more expensive than plain petrol or diesel versions of the same car. The basic VW Golf, £26,400. The Volkswagen Golf plug-in hybrid, £38,891. The basic Vauxhall Astra, £21,180. A Vauxhall Astra plug-in hybrid, £39,450. So just let me summarise that last bit. People are happy to buy plug-in hybrids. Plug-in hybrids are up 39.3% year on year, which is the largest percentage increase of any vehicle type, where the price differential on cars such as the VW Golf is 48% and on the Vauxhall Astra is 85% between the base car and the plug-in hybrid version. Now, as I always say on this show, when you do straight comparisons like that, you're not actually comparing like with like. It's rarely a similar spec or performance. But the general point still stands. Plug-in hybrid sales are increasing, despite the fact they're almost always considerably dearer than the basic versions. But EVs aren't, for the same reason. Second cars are often smaller, so the market is wide open from that point of view. I would say try the Volkswagen e-up or the Seat equivalent, but unfortunately, they stopped making those in April 2022. There are many second-hand options available if you look, though. There are other small-sized electric vehicles on the market. In fact, Citroën is bringing out the EC3 with an expected starting price in the very low £20,000 bracket and a range around 150 miles. Former guest and friend of the podcast, Jonathan Porterfield, recently purchased a second-hand Renault Zoe with 110,000 miles on the clock for a little over £5,000 at auction. He picked it up at Shoreham on the south coast and drove it back to Orkney in Scotland in -7 degree weather with no issue. So the bargains are out there if you look for them. The next issue is range. Range is something that's very flexible when it comes to distances people drive in a car. Figures from the RAC Foundation indicate that new cars travel an average of 10,377 miles in each of the first 3 years after they're registered. This is the equivalent of 28 miles per day. For pure electric cars, such as the Tesla Model S and Model X, that figure is quite a bit higher, approximately 12,300 miles a year. After 3 years, this figure drops, as cars will then generally go to the second-hand market. There isn't a single electric car on the road that can't handle 28 miles per day. There will, of course, be some households where both drivers have long commutes to work, where an electric car might cause a level of anxiety to those who aren't used to using them. Whilst I would encourage those households to look at the situation objectively, I do accept that for some, this might be a step too far. There are also those who've attempted to make the leap but have stopped halfway and settled for a hybrid. I can fully understand that. Before I got my first EV, I was looking at a hybrid vehicle but decided against it in the long run. With hybrids, there are two main types: mild hybrids and plug-in hybrids. If you've gone for the mild hybrid, what you're really saying is, I'm happy to continue to run on fossil fuels, I just want my fuel efficiency to be better. If you've gone for a plug-in hybrid, what you're saying is, I wanted an electric car, but I'm scared I'll run out of range, so I want the safety blanket of an engine. Now, if you can run your whole journey without using the engine, you can go full electric. If you can't, then you bought a hybrid with too small a battery, so go for a full electric instead. Remember, this is your second car. If you need to hit the south of France every week towing a caravan, you've still got your gas guzzler waiting at home. What's interesting about two-car families where one is electric is that for the most part, after having the electric for a short while, the adult driving the fossil fuel car tends to start to drive the electric more and more. So as I've said many times on this show before, the best way to get someone into an electric car is to physically get them into an electric car. If all that wasn't enough, there's another great reason to go for an EV. Once you have your EV on your drive, you then open yourselves to all those fantastic low-priced EV charging tariffs that can power your home. Some of them allow cheap EV charging only, others allow any electricity to be bought in at a very cheap rate, especially overnight. These are all attempts to help encourage the right behaviours for balancing the grid and to ensure that we make the best use of power that's available without ever having to worry about the price. If you go to the OVO Charge Anytime add-on, you get really cheap EV charging 24/7 at market-leading rates. If you go to an Octopus Intelligent EV tariff, for example, it becomes really easy then to schedule things like washing machines and dishwashers to go at the time of cheap electricity. If you have a storage battery at home, this can be filled cheaply overnight. If you're on a heat pump, you can use the cheap overnight electricity to heat your house ready for the morning. All this purely because you happen to have an EV on your drive. But in keeping with this season's theme of education, I think that one of the main reasons a lot of people run two fossil fuel cars rather than one fossil fuel and an electric, or even two electrics, is ignorance. And I use the word ignorance in its basic definition, being unaware of something. They simply don't know what's out there. They're listening to media that are not putting forward accurate messages about electric vehicles. They might be Daily Mail or Daily Telegraph readers. These two publications are notorious for publishing anti-EV articles. 196 consecutive ones in The Telegraph, which was exposed in a recent investigation, has been linked to climate denying groups based in Tufton Street in London. So we've got the situation where there's misinformation going on, or, if you cast your mind back to an earlier episode this season, paltering, and people are thinking it's easier to stay with the diesel SUV they have rather than looking for an alternative option which could suit them just as well and which is electric. So how can we move past this? Well, as I mentioned earlier, the best way to get someone into an EV is to literally sit them in an EV and get them to drive or rent one. I might have told this story before, but I worked with a guy who wanted to get a new car and he was looking at hybrids, as he's a Green Party councillor for his area. I spent a short while talking with him and persuaded him to take a test drive in an MG4. He took one out over the following weekend, and when I saw him on the Monday, he said, "Gary, I placed an order for one." And he's now running around quite happily in his bright orange MG4 trophy version with 200 miles of range. I'm completely convinced through personal and anecdotal experience that if we get more people into electric vehicles to drive, sit with them and answer their questions about things like costs to buy, costs to own, costs to run, second-hand are becoming really affordable now, and identify situations where they will benefit from having an electric vehicle, the overall perception and uptake would change. What do you think? This season, we're looking at raising the awareness of carbon literacy with our listeners, and one way we're doing that is with the Carbon Fact, as read by carbon literacy trainer, Ann Snelson.
If we all just boil the amount of water we need, we could save 2.6 million kilowatt hours of electricity. That's equivalent to 1.5 million miles of car journeys, or enough electricity to fuel 112 homes for a year. So the next time you're boiling for a cuppa, just fill it to the minimum and boil it just once.
It's time for a cool EV or renewable thing to share with your listeners. EV maker Hyundai has taken a leaf from the F1 designs of old and created aerodynamic skirts for some of its cars. The active air skirts are positioned ahead of the front wheels and improve downforce and stability while also decreasing the drag produced by the wheels and brake system. The reduced drag increased the range, not by a lot, but every little helps with these things. Again, taking the F1 point of view, a 2.8% reduction in the car's aerodynamic coefficient equates to an improved range of just under 4 miles on the Genesis GV60. It's not a lot, but it's a start and something they can build on. And that's the show for today. Hope you enjoyed listening to it. If you want to contact me, I can be emailed at info@evmusings.com. I'm also on Twitter at MusingsEV. If you want to support the podcast and newsletter, please consider contributing to becoming an EV Musings patron. The link's in the show notes. Don't want to sign up for something on a monthly basis? If you enjoyed this episode, why not buy me a coffee? Go to coffee.com/EVMusings, ko-fi.com/EVMusings, and you can do just that. Takes Apple Pay too. You probably know this, but I have a couple of ebooks out there if you want to read something on your Kindle. They're both 99p or equivalent, and you can get them on Amazon worldwide. We've got So You've Gone Electric, which is a great little introduction to living with an electric car, and So You've Gone Renewable. It covers installing solar panels, storage battery, and a heat pump. So why not check them both out? Links for everything we've talked about in the podcast today are in the description. If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe. It's available on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. If you've got a few seconds and you're not running or jogging or driving or whatever, then leave a review. It helps raise visibility and extend our reach in search engines. If you've reached this part of the podcast and are still listening, thank you. Why not let me know you've got to this point by tweeting me at MusingsEV with the words, "Two Jags Prescott, not me. Hashtag if you know, you know. Nothing else." That's one for the older listeners, right? Thanks, as always, to my co-founder, Simon. You know, he's a bit of a metalhead when it comes to music, German death metal specifically. He loves to stick the headphones on and listen to a bit of Rammstein as he's out and about on his electric unicycle. I looked at him with a disapproving stare when he told me this, and he said to me rather sheepishly, "I make many other good choices." Thanks for listening. Bye. The EV Musings podcast is sponsored by Zapmap, the go-to app for EV drivers in the UK, which helps our EV drivers search, plan, and pay for their charging. Zapmap is free to download and use, with subscription plans for enhanced features, such as using Zapmap in-car, on CarPlay, or Android Auto.